Welcome, everybody, to the flagship edition of Chiefs First and 10. You are here with JP and JJ.
YOLO.
That was JJ that said YOLO. I can't
believe it. It was excellent.
YOLO. Who says YOLO?
I do. The cool kids say YOLO. You would understand that I'm one of the cool kids.
I mean, is that like, are you from, you know, Yugoslavia, or they still say that? I know they still use, you know, 15, 20-year-old slang in different countries. Just one.
They're probably pretty cool too, so I'm guessing they do.
They are.
I'll take that as a compliment, okay?
All right, there you go then. We'll continue to use that. That's our new slogan. YOLO.
Nice.
All right, well, since we are officially starting our first podcast, we might as well get into some serious information here. What do you think of Eric Berry?
He's not practicing again today. We have had very limited exposure to him for two seasons now. We're paying him top safety money. And I'd need you to give me a pretty compelling reason why we should continue this path, because I'm lost.
I want to know why everybody says we are. When did we start writing this man's checks?
Well, we as the team involved in the salary cap are writing this man's checks. I mean, it's a hard cap. There's not much we can do about paying this man this much money. And I mean, he's Eric Berry, for God's sake. But you know, why are we hanging on to this dream?
Well, I tell you why. When he's healthy, and granted, I understand he's had a couple of rough seasons. When he's healthy, he's the best in the league. He's done things for this team that no one else has done. He's done things in this league that no one else has done. Look what he did in college. He's got better college stats than most guys do through their entire career in the NFL. That's just his college stats alone. Yes, he has got an injury that he can't help. It's not his fault. But if we cut him today, do you realize that we still pay him $19 million next year?
If we cut him post June 1st, as the other cool kids know, we save $9.5 million.
But even at that, look at the dead cap space that we have by letting go of somebody that, you know, for damn sure is going to end up going to another team after he heals up, and he's going to kick the fucking shit out of us. He's going to make us look like idiots. And for somebody that has been through the ringer when it comes to health issues, I mean, the guy came back from, you know, one of the worst cancers you can ever have and has an all-pro season, goes to the Pro Bowl, you know, comeback player of the year, has the best season of any safety in 2016. And then what happens? 2017, he tears his Achilles in the first play of the game. I get it. But, you know, there was so much animosity from certain people about him, and there were so many misconceptions about his injury. It was in the same leg. If they cut into it, it's going to cause his Achilles to tear. It was actually, all that's wrong. None of that's real. It's on the opposite leg that he had his tear. And it's something that can be healed, but he did something in his mind for the betterment of the team. If he could heal himself to a degree that he was helpful during the season holistically, which he did, then that's what his intentions were. Everybody said, well, what if he would have had surgery the first few weeks of the season, and then in 8 weeks later, he'd be healthy? And you know, not every surgery goes perfect. Not everything goes exactly the way it's planned. And what if they slipped and made a mistake and it took another 16 weeks to heal or ended his career that day? He did what he did in the hopes that we would have help if needed, because he knew where we were going. He was on that practice field. He watched Pat Mahomes. He watched that offense. He knew what they were going to end up being like. A hell of a lot better than 78-year-old Bob Sutton does.
You know, and you know, man, I got to say, like, you brought up an interesting point. The thought of Barry actually coming back and playing for another team kind of makes me sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I know everybody was really upset when we let go of Derek Johnson. Oh, except for Stephen A. Smith, he thought, you know, he still played for us, but, you know, I when he went to the Raiders, I really honestly wanted to throw up. Granted, he didn't last there. I don't think he was really given an opportunity, although the few games that he was in, he played well. And he was offered a position to come back and coach. He's keeping himself in football shape. He's trying to heal. To be honest with you, I wish we would have re-signed him this year and brought him back after the Raiders cut him.
I actually felt for Derek Johnson because I know the guy still wanted to play, and nobody else gave him an opportunity. I mean, it wasn't like he had a list of 50 teams, or sorry, 10 teams, and then he picked out the Raiders. I mean, he had one opportunity, and he went where the opportunity was. I mean, the guy's going to be a Ring of Honor member, and, you know, he just it just sucks that that was an opportunity. And I think in Gruden's infinite wisdom, I think he thought he'd get some insight and he'd get some veteran leadership, but DJ is just past his prime, you know, and it's sad.
It is sad. And I honestly wish he would come back and, you know, be an assistant in some aspect and help and train and mentor these players. You know, Gruden does things out of spite, and he said it himself. He loves to steal players from the Kansas City Chiefs. That's one of his favorite things to do. And when he signed DJ, he signed him not because of his abilities and not because of any other thing other than the fact that he wanted to steal a Chiefs player. And you're right. He did want, he thought he was going to grab some insight, maybe get some inside information on what was going on in our camp. Well, you know what? Our defense, granted, it is DJ, and there's very few guys on that defense that could understand our offensive playbook. So regardless of anything, unless it was somebody that was a running back, a quarterback, wide receiver, Gruden made a mistake. He really did. I mean, he made himself look stupid by signing him for that reason, but he made a mistake, and then he cuts him. And, of course, DJ's sitting at home while the Chiefs are now, you know, two steps closer to being in the Super Bowl.
It just sucks we couldn't do it with him. Like, it really, as a guy who's given everything to this franchise, you know, and it's just that dude was like the unsung hero of this defense. And I kind of want to use that to move on for a second. I know we can talk about Eric Berry's injury all day, but I want to ask you a question. And that is, I'm starting to think that Chris Jones has become the heart of this defense and replaced Eric Berry. And I want to know what you think about that.
I believe that he is the leader of the defense. I still believe that Eric Berry is the heart. And the reason I say that is because he has so much respect within that locker room. And because of his age, the fact that he's been around, he's a veteran player that has been just a phenomenal player that everybody knows. And I mean, everybody knows that. But his wisdom and his veteran status, people have respect for him. Yes, Chris Jones has stepped up in many ways. And he is, to me, I love the guy. I mean, he's comical. He's extremely outgoing. We're going to end up having him on the show, by the way. And he has become a sack master. You know, he's second behind Donald. And I think he's going to end up inevitably being the heart of this team if he sticks around, which I believe he is.
Oh, don't you even entertain the possibility he's going everywhere. I will back the Brinks truck up myself for Chris Jones. Like, he is, I am Scrooge McDuck when it comes to Chiefs players. Every time we pay somebody, I roll my eyes. I'm like, oh my God, here comes another giant contract to get saddled with. Chris Jones, I do not give a shit. Back it up. I don't care. Bring the money. You know, do whatever you need to. I wine and dine that guy. Give him free barbecue for life. I don't care. I pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
Oh, I fully agree. I mean, I would not want to lose. I wouldn't want to lose Chris Jones as, you know, just like I mean, in the same realm as I wouldn't want to lose Tyreek Hill. I mean, you know, I would equate the two as the same loss, you know, as separate sides of the field or separate sides of the ball. But when it comes to Eric Berry, and see, that's something that you stated about Derek Johnson and, you know, being such a leader and the heart and soul of this team for so long. That's exactly what Eric Berry is. He's the heart and soul of this team. And he's been that way for a long time. And if he has an opportunity to get himself healed, come back and play, you know, if he came back and say he was 80% of what he was in 2016, 80%, he's still better than every other safety in the NFL. So I would have a really hard time, and I'm the same way when it comes to Barry. I'm extremely loyal to that guy. I always will be. I just don't see any reason to consider cutting him at this point when he's going to cost us either way, not cost you or I, he's going to cost the team for an opportunity. Maybe he comes out and maybe he is a better person, a better player. Maybe he gets completely healed. Maybe he's not going to be made of glass, as some people worded it on Twitter today. Let him go. He's made of glass. You know, I can't stand that. That is not something that you say about a guy that has been to the Pro Bowl more times than, you know, half the guys that have played twice as long and has been such a phenomenal influence on this team. The guy had cancer. What's he supposed to do about that? Is that made him made of glass because he had cancer? No. Okay. How many people tear their Achilles or blow their ACL and come back and play? Look at Adrian Peterson, for Christ's sake. The guy's 33 fucking years old. Getting ready to be 34. 100-yard games. Still playing at a high level. And he's had all kinds of injuries.
Yeah, and he's no offense to AP. Well, yeah, no, I'm not going to say that. He's also a way shittier person than Eric Berry is. Mm-hmm. I mean, just so we're at that. And I want to let everybody who's listening know I am playing a little devil's advocate here because, as JP knows, I love Eric Berry.
He does.
I am an Eric Berry stan. Like, I love the guy. Like, there's a few players on this team that I am just going to pound the table for every time. And, you know, Berry is one of them. Chris Jones is one of them. I love Justin Houston to death. And you know, there's one other that we're going to talk about quick that I love is no longer with us. That's Marcus Peters.
Oh my God.
I love Marcus Peters. That dude is awesome. And we've been having a little disagreement on this. And I think it was a huge mistake to let him go. I do. I think it was. It was a huge mistake.
Oh my God. You know what? I will let you say that. I can't stop you from saying it. I think it's bullshit, but
it's totally true. What are you talking about? There's no devil's advocate in this one, dude. I love Marcus Peters and you know what? He is, besides Kendall Fuller, another great guy, another great player. He would be making this defense not the everybody gets a touchdown zone.
Well, you know what? After watching him this season, I don't believe that at all.
It's been a bad year.
A horrible season. And you know, the funny thing about that is that when he played for the Chiefs, he was allowed to do whatever he wanted to do. Nobody had control over the guy. And they said, well, you know what? He can intercept the ball. I know he plays the Olay bullshit when somebody runs by him that may weigh a pound or two more than him. God forbid he puts out a finger to tackle somebody. But, you know, I mean, he made Deion Sanders look like friggin' James Harrison, but he's a one-trick pony. He can intercept a football.
Dude, that is a big trick. You are talking about that one-trick pony. Like that's saying, like, hey, this is a one-trick pony. His trick is he can fly.
Okay, but
that's a pretty big trick,
but,
you know?
Good question. Just out of curiosity, you got a guy that, okay, just say like this year, I think he's had two interceptions this year. Two interceptions for the entire season. One against Pat Mahomes. That wasn't even really an interception. I mean, his arm was tipped. And God, you know, I mean, they had to make sure that he intercepted one of his balls because of his bullshit that he put out about Pat Mahomes saying he was a pick machine and that he picked off every ball. He knows how to throw the ball to me. He knew how to throw the ball to me. Fuck you.
You took that personally, didn't you?
Oh, it pissed me off so bad. It was a lie. I mean, everybody said it was a fucking lie. He was lying through his teeth. He acted like every pass that Pat Mahomes threw during the 2017 season, during practice, he intercepted, which is an outright lie. He did not. People were there at the OTAs. People were there at mini camp. People were watching this happen. He did not. He picked off maybe two or three passes from Pat Mahomes through the entire time that they practiced together. And in fact, to even make it even worse on him, is that he didn't even really practice with Peters very often. He practiced in 2017 with the second string. There was 10% of his practice time was with first string players during the 2017 season. 10%. So all of a sudden, Marcus Peters, I mean, fuck, if you took all the interceptions that he got from Pat Mahomes, apparently, during practice, and you added them with the ones for the 3 years that he played for the Chiefs, well, shit, the guy would have, like, what, 50, 60 interceptions already, the way he talks.
But, okay, now I want to put this in perspective a little bit, though, okay? So you're right. He's had a very bad year, okay? He's had a very bad year. I believe he's the last-rated cornerback, or he was anyway.
Still is.
But here's the thing about him. And if I had a watch, okay? I had a Rolex, right? Had all these beautiful pieces in it, okay? And I took out one of the gears, and I sold it to you for your watch, all right? And you put it in your watch, and your watch is a piece of shit. It doesn't work. It doesn't keep time right. And I'm looking at it, from my watch's perspective, being like, well, that was a great piece in my watch, but it doesn't work in his watch, so it must be a bad gear. All right, now that's a little convoluted, but all I'm saying is that you took a piece, not you, but we took a piece out of our system that was working and it was doing so good. And then we gave it away for some carrots and a donkey. You know, I mean, and it was this piece that made everything fit. Can you imagine, just wrap your mind around it for a second, what Patrick Mahomes could do with all those picks that Peters used to get? Because right now, you know that's not happening. We're not getting those turnovers.
You're right, we're not. But in the same aspect, we don't need him as much as we would have with an Alex Smith. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Alex Smith. And, you know, I think he's one of, well, if not the most stand-up guy in football. But we don't need him as much. And I don't know if you looked at our last year's defensive stats, but we gave up just as many yards last year as we have this year.
But we're not generating the turnovers we did last year either, are we?
Didn't do anything with them either way. Now we got a guy that can score 38 points a game, or average 36 to 38 points a game. Okay. Well, yeah, we're still giving up a lot of yards, but Kendall Fuller's done a great job. And I got to tell you,
Kendall Fuller has done a great job.
Ward, everybody trashed him that first game against it was San Diego. They trashed him about the way he played.
Oh, I think Seattle, right?
I'm sorry, not San Diego, Seattle. He actually held what's his name there?
Baldwin?
Yeah, he held him to pretty much no yards. I mean,
oh, dude, whenever Baldwin caught the ball, like if anyone wants to take the time to go back and rewatch that game, Ward was right there, man. He, like, Russell Wilson was magic. He was making amazing throws.
He was.
And, you know, Ward, like, half the time had his hand in between the ball and Baldwin, and it just wasn't going right. Like, he didn't have a bad game. He had a pretty damn good game. It was just, he got outplayed. Like, you know, like, Russell Wilson is a magical quarterback.
He is. And, you know, that was, you got to think about it. How many snaps did he have prior to that game?
Oh yeah, none. And they're just trying to, you know, they're just trying to shake things up, which I think, I mean, is that, would you say that's an indictment on Andy Reid's faith in Bob Sutton? Because it sounded like that was Andy's decision. They needed new personnel.
That was Andy's decision. He is, you know, over the last couple of seasons, you know, and I'd never seen this prior to the last couple of seasons, but over the last couple of seasons, he has just hammered Bob Sutton on the sidelines more than once. And I think he realizes now that, okay, I'm at a point that I've got to make some decisions on what's best for this team. And Andy's the type of guy that if he's going to have you on his coaching staff, he's going to let you run with it. And that's what he does. He lets him run with it. Well, he's letting him run with it too long. And I'm going to fault Andy for that. He's letting him run with it too long. Now, you know, he had the luxury of having a Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Chris Conley, you know, a Kareem Hunt at the beginning of the season. And we'll get into that later very briefly, and then that'll end. But
oh, I'm looking forward to that so much.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not, but I, you know, it's something.
No, I don't even want to think about Kareem Hunt. That makes me sick. But you know what? Damian Williams.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, look.
Pretty damn spectacular.
Exactly. He's a fantastic back, and he's just going to get better with time. But Andy has always been that guy that has allowed his coaches to coach. The problem is that his friendship, his loyalty to Bob Sutton has gotten out of hand. And he knows it, and he's finally taken the reins. And that everybody was so pissed off about that Seattle game. That was planned. That was something that he planned on doing. He wanted to see what he had. Andy was smart enough to go, okay, you know, there's no fucking way we're losing against the Raiders at home. It's not going to happen.
No. Nope.
So let's take a chance, put in our second and third string guys that haven't played a snap all year and haven't seen, you know, the football field other than from the sidelines, and let's see what we've got. We lost by 7 points, okay? We still played a great game. Pat Mahomes and the offense, they didn't have their normal huge 300-yard-plus passing game, 100-plus, you know, yard rushing game, but they only lost by 7 points.
Yeah, and think what we're going to do when Sammy Watkins gets back in there. My God, like that dude is just – he is so invaluable to this team. And I was hammering that signing a little bit, you know, privately.
I remember.
Booing it a little bit, but holy shit, that guy is valuable. I mean, like he is – the coverage he draws, I mean, he makes everybody better. And there's I love Honey Thunder, great guy, but he's not Sammy Watkins, you know.
Yeah, no, he's not. I mean, Sammy is just, you know, that's a huge contract for him, given his. But I say that, and then I should retract it because it's not true. Sammy actually was one of the higher ranked wide receivers in the league. He was just underutilized.
Oh yeah, he was one of the highest guys targeted per catch. Like that's the wrong way to say that. He caught most of the balls thrown
correct.
At him.
Correct, he was.
You know, and it was just a scheming issue. And Sean McVay knew it. Like, he knew how valuable he was. And we all know he's a good coach. And he wanted to re-sign him.
Immediately.
Yeah, terribly bad. I mean, he went out and got another Sammy Watkins, you know, in Cooks to take his spot.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, Sammy draws so much attention away from everybody else that it has been – and just a pleasure to watch him on the field. And then when the ball does come in his direction, he catches the ball. His first year in the season, or in the career, in his career, and when we had Sammy Watkins in there, we were just an unstoppable offense, along with Kareem Hunt, of course. But without him, things changed. Strangely enough, the Rams... The guy scores 51 points. 51 points. The only team in the history of the NFL to score 51 points and lose.
God, that sounds good. I love that. Say that again one more time.
The only team in the history of the NFL to score 51 points and actually lose the game.
Yeah. God, that feels good to say that. That's amazing. Considering where we were last year, like, hey, 17 points, not too shabby.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. That game was given to the Rams.
Oh, that left tackle move too. Like, I don't blame the refs for much. I really try to avoid that because I think it's a shitty job. Nobody compliments you when you did a good job and everybody harps on you when you were bad. But my God, that that tackle moving. I think it was on the, was it on the 2-point or the, no, it was on the touchdown. When he jumped, and then the media is sitting there, you know, talking about how great this Rams play is, and they show it in slow motion about 4 times, and it's like, oh my God, dude, he jumped off sides like a second early. It wasn't even close. It was nowhere. The Rams fans on Twitter were saying, yeah, that was kind of egregious. That was kind of bad. It was.
It was.
It was fucking
terrible. It was horrible. I mean, and it didn't happen just once.
The first time I remember that game where our pass rushers were getting held in my memory, like that obvious. And that kind of brings me up to something I wanted to ask you about. Who's your most over and underrated chief?
I think one of the most overrated chiefs, to be honest with you. Wait a minute. You know what? I'm going to back up. I was thinking of the opposite. It's actually Fisher. I apologize. That was my mistake. I was thinking, I was looking at the field from an opposite direction, and it's Fisher. My vision of the look staring at the field. But I watched, because I'm seeing Mahomes go down, you know, from the opposite side of the field, because I watch a lot of coaches' film, and I'm watching it from a 360 angle, and I see him go down, and it seems like Fisher has a really hard time. He needs help on that end. He absolutely needs help. And when he doesn't have it, Mahomes gets hit. You know, for a team that has had one of the, I guess the quarterback with some of the, or a team with a quarterback with the least amount of, or one of the least amounts of sacks, Mahomes has been hammered a lot.
Oh yeah, no, I saw the stats on it too, where Mitchell Schwartz hasn't allowed a sack in like 1,500 pressures, but Mahomes has been sacked. And I want to say, I want to check the stats on that, because I think actually Mahomes is a, I thought he was a top 10 for being sacked. Maybe that was actually quarterbacks who got themselves sacked, because I think he was top 10 in one of those two categories because he moved into the pressure or something like that. But you are right. The pressure usually comes from Fisher's side.
It does. And for somebody that's his size and seems to be, I mean, he's young. I mean, he's a young guy, but he's just not, he doesn't have, I don't know if it's the legwork. I don't know if it's the strength. Something is missing with him, and I just can't put my finger on it. So as far as rated, I would say Fisher. I mean, I give him
the benefit of the doubt that, you know, and I'm, you're aware of this, left tackle is a bitch of a position. That's why they're so valued.
Oh,
and I think Eric Fisher is above league average. And, I'm just prefacing that because I want to give you my most overrated player.
Okay.
Now, I talked about the pass rush being held all the time. Who do you think I'm gonna name for overrated?
And when it comes to pass rush, is that what you just said?
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. Who's overrated on this team right now?
I got a weird feeling what's gonna fly out of your mouth and it's gonna twist me is probably D Ford.
It is D Ford. That dude is overrated. He has been milking this contract of this first round pick, and you want to talk about a guy who hasn't lived up to the bill? You need to miss me with the contract year. Like I am not paying attention to this. I'm not going to give that guy a franchise tag for $20 million. And don't make no mistake out there in podcast land. It's going to be about $20 million to franchise tag that guy. People want to sit here and judge Justin Houston and say, "Well, where's his production?" Don't look at Justin Houston's sacks. Look at everything else that guy does. He is a game wrecker. He is a complete disruption on the field, and he's been doing it year in and year out. And people want to yell about, oh, but he doesn't have the sacks. The sacks are a very, very minor stat.
Correct.
You know, and that guy, and that's actually, I'm gonna take over this section a little bit again. That's my underrated player. Justin Houston on the other side of that line. D Ford gets sacks this year. And we're going to fall for it. And I know a friend of mine on Twitter has another podcast. She is on a podcast, Yo-Yo. She's on Voice of the Kingdom podcast.
Yeah.
And she is falling into the trap. She was strong with me against D Ford, and we're not going to re-sign him, and we're not going to pay that guy, and we're going to let him walk. And she is slowly getting sucked in. And if you're listening, Yo-Yo, oh, man, I am disappointed in you. I am just fuming about D Ford. Like I love watching him play the piano.
I loved that when they had him during the Broncos game last year. Christmas, was it last year or 2 years ago? I think it was last year. The double doink game?
Yeah.
Where went through the uprights and hit both poles before it went through. Do you remember that?
I remember.
D Ford playing the piano at halftime, like on the commercials. Loved that. Do I want him on my team anymore? Not for that money. He's going to command too much money. He's going to be paid as a top two pass rusher. I'm not even saying top three. Top two pass rusher. And I don't want any part of that nightmare. He gets injured. Not like Eric Berry. Eric Berry gets injured. D Ford gets injured this week. No big deal. Nope. I'm out. I'm Shark Tank and I pass. Go somewhere else.
You know, in his defense, because I think he's done a phenomenal job this year.
This year.
Yeah, but you have to realize he's not that old. I mean, how long has he been in the league? What, this is his third season, right?
Nope, this is his fourth season.
Fourth season.
No, I'm sorry. I think this is his fifth season. I think we're on his fifth-year option, right? We are. We're on his fifth-year option. This is his fifth season.
It's his fifth season?
Fifth season. He was a first-round pick, and we picked up his fifth-year option this year, and he is a free agent next year. This is his fifth season. Now, let that marinate for a minute.
Well, my question is, let's see. Yeah, he was drafted in 2014. So he started in he came in the 14th season. So, no, 15th season, really. 2015 season.
Wait, no, you said he was drafted in 14, right?
Yeah, he was drafted in 14.
So we got the 14th, 2014 he played, 15, 16, 17, and then this year is 18. This is his fifth season.
15, 16, 17. Now this is his fifth year, correct?
Yes, 5 years of this so far, and only in the last couple years. He was only, yeah, no, dude, I'm sorry. I get, this is my emotional topic. No, this is going to be a trap. And no, I am not doing it. Nope, nope, nope.
You know, he did have, and I know you hate him, apparently. I mean, you really have a hatred towards this guy. And I'm,
I have a hatred toward his contract that's going to command.
I think you really don't like the man. I think he did something to you personally. And I don't know what it was, but he's not that bad of a guy. But,
oh, I know, dude. He's a good guy, and this is completely, as D Ford as a player, I actually kind of like him. D Ford is a top paid. What do you? I mean, you want to back up the Briggs truck for Chris Jones like I do? I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
So you want to do it for D Ford because D Ford is going to cost more than Chris Jones is.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I think you know the cap's going up next year like it does every year anyway. We've got a lot of players that we have to pay. We don't have a choice. We've got guys on that offense that are in the next 2 years that we're going to be paying some huge money to.
Yep, agreed.
So it's going to have to come down to, really, it's going to have to come down to what players are we going to restructure to keep? What players want to – this is going to determine a lot about a player. And believe me, I am not about the cheap teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not about the Patriots that pay pennies to pray and hope that they get the best – because they're going to go to the Super Bowl and they've had this stigma these, you know, all these years. I don't want to be that team that is cheap and pays nobody. I want to be the team that is known for having great players like we do and keeping them. But we have to figure out – John Dorsey put us in cap hell. Don't get me wrong. The guy can draft. He knew what he was doing. You know, everybody said, well, Veach did a great job, you know, drafting Pat Mahomes. He didn't draft Pat Mahomes. That was John Dorsey that did that.
Are you not going to give him any credit for that?
He didn't draft him.
I know he did, but he convinced him.
Well, I don't even know if it was so much him as it was Andy Reid. Reid followed the guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to call Veach a puppet because I actually kind of like Veach. I'm not crazy about his draft this year, but I mean, they always said Veach is a Reid guy. I think Therese Paylor said it a few times. Veach is a Reid guy. Like, he's going to do what Veach wants, or he's going to do what Reid wants. And I don't think John Dorsey did that. I don't think he did what Andy Reid wanted, and I think it came down to him, you know? Well,
Yeah, and there was a disagreement, you know, that ultimately led to John Dorsey being let go. But there was a lot, you know, getting back to the draft part of this, and the people that we have now, or the cap structure, I should say, you know, we've got so many players that we have got to pay. You know, we don't have to worry about Travis Kelce for a while, but we've got Tyreek Hill coming rolling up. Now, one thing that did, as much as this sounds horrible, we don't have to worry about paying Kareem Hunt. Okay. That's one player that we don't have to worry about paying in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years because he's not here.
But that might actually be a blessing in disguise the way that Damian Williams is playing too, because I mean, look at the league right now, running backs. I mean,
I know.
And when throw a rock and you can find a Pro Bowl running back, Philip Lindsay, for God's sakes, is evil Denver Bronco, but he's a damn little good running back. And he is in draft world. He's a nobody. He was a nobody.
When undrafted.
Yeah. Yeah. Damian Williams, Darrell Williams. I mean, we just stack up Williams and these guys are killing it.
They are. And, you know, I think that's going to help us down the road, but we've got Tyreek Hill coming up. We've got a lot of guys that are rolling up, you know, Chris Jones, as you mentioned. There's a lot of players that we've got to pay, and we've got to come to the conclusion, and it's going to come down to what players have the heart and determination to stick with the team for a couple million dollars less a year or $3 million less a year, to stay with the team, grow with that team, get to the Super Bowl multiple times, not once, and say, yay, we're not the fucking Kansas City Royals, and we're going to go one time every 30 years to a championship. Let's fucking go and get there and get to the championship game. Even if we don't make the Super Bowl, you know, God forbid, you know, 8 or 9 times in a fucking 16-year period, at least we'll have the opportunity to be able to say, we've got these players that have enough heart, that are willing to play for a little bit less money. I mean, it's just like you and I, okay? Both of us have our own prospective careers. If we were making $1 million a year at our careers now, and they said, well, you know, we're going to bring somebody in that's going to make your job a little bit easier, we're going to cut you by $45,000 a year. We're making $1 million a year. What's $45,000? About paying the players that are worth it. Don't get me wrong. I am all about it. But when it comes down to, you know, signing somebody like a Tyreek Hill to a long-term contract, you know, or, you know, a Pat Mahomes, God forbid, you know, anything would ever happen in that direction. We've got, thank God, we've got another we got 2 more years before his rookie years ends, or his rookie contract ends. But these guys have to be a little bit more pliable, I guess I should say, when it comes to their contracts. I mean, we've paid a lot of money out to a lot of people over the years, especially since the John Dorsey era. The guy is, fuck, he was just, man, when it's not his money, he's free for all. That's for damn sure. And he went to town signing a lot of people and paying a lot of money out. And some of them worked out, some of them didn't. Some of them, you know, just like, you know, have had just injury prone and problems. But to the same aspect, they have to be able to convince these guys that, you know what, the Kansas City Chiefs are different than most teams. Everybody looks at this team as a family. The problem with other teams, look at what happened to Pittsburgh this year. I mean, they're
that was fun to watch, though, right? From our perspective, that implosion was just. It would have only been better if it happened to the Broncos, and I mean, they were bad this year, so whatever.
Yeah,
the Broncos haven't imploded like that, and the Steelers. Oh man, that's a Christmas present for me, just watching them self destruct.
Yeah, and you know what started all of that? Honestly. Them drafting a fucking quarterback.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember that very well.
Yeah. When they drafted a quarterback, good God, man. I mean, the chip just grew and grew and grew on top of Raplesberger's shoulder. And he just, this will be my last year. Oh, wait, we've drafted a quarterback. Wait, I got another 4 or 5 years left in me. And the next thing you know, the team goes to shit. He's hammering players left and right. I think I deserve that right to critique a player. You know what? You do have that right, okay? You have the right to critique a player, but you don't have that right to do it on air. It's that simple. Have enough fucking respect for your teammates and your team and your franchise not to ever point the finger at a player on air. And that's where it just blew me out of the water that he did that. I was just...
My favorite part of the whole situation so far, though, has been watching analysts on Twitter argue about, like, you know, Big Ben does this, that he's doing all this shit to his teammates, but everybody wants to talk about Antonio Brown, and they get on Le'Veon Bell, and they're like, yeah, well, Le'Veon Bell might be holding out, but look at Ben Roethlisberger and what he's doing and how these guys are talking. They're all assholes.
They are.
Like, all we're arguing about is who the biggest asshole is. Like, Antonio Brown is an asshole. We all thought he was nice. We were wrong. Ben Roethlisberger, nobody thought the guy was nice. He's an asshole. He's a douchebag. Le'Veon Bell is a prima donna. But that whole team has just – their offensive line is the best part about them. Like, that offensive line is amazing. And they were – you know what's crazy? They were 100% right. They told Le'Veon Bell, hey, man, we're the reason you rush for what you do.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, no, you guys ain't nothing to do with me. James Conner steps in. Holy shit.
Yep.
And then, it's the offensive line. No way.
Guy stepped in and holy shit. I mean, their third string guy stepped in and actually played just as well as Connor did.
Yeah, no, they do. That's just them. Like, their offensive line is ridiculous. And you got this team full of assholes. Like, it's just ridiculous how many assholes are on that team.
But you know where that stems from, don't you? And I don't care what anybody says. Fuck anyone that disagrees with me. Mike Tomlin is the biggest asshole on the planet.
See, I don't see that with him, dude. I really don't. Like, I kind of like Mike Tomlin. The guy looks like he's been beaten down so bad by everybody. And I mean, I'm sure it's just a difference of opinion between us. But I don't look at Mike Tomlin and think asshole at all. I look at him as a coach who just got kind of overwhelmed over the last couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you why I say that. And after that, when Antonio Brown recorded him after the Chiefs game, when they beat us by 3 points,
that was classless. Yeah, that was terrible.
And he sat there and said, you know, actually, he I don't remember if that recording was before or after the game. I cannot remember for the life of
me. After in the locker room, and he Facebook streamed it.
Yeah, and he said, well, let's go out and beat these assholes. He's talking about Andy Reid, and he made some pretty derogatory comments about Andy Reid. And some of that was bleeped out, of course. But I think, in my opinion, everybody said, I've been in locker rooms, so I know the things that are said. Okay, I get it. But you have to have some respect for the team that you're playing. And especially a guy like Andy Reid that is just loved by everybody. I mean, he's not he's not some just fly-by-night coach. I mean, he's the second winningest coach in NFL history. And for somebody to just slam the man the way he did in that locker room, and I think his persona and his attitude and his mentality, they breed on, you know, everybody follows somebody. And it starts from the top. That team.
I would argue with you that it's not Tomlin who's the top. It's Big Ben, and he's ruining everything for him. Like, I think he's a toxic human being altogether. You listen to him talk, there is no – I don't know what it is about Big Ben, but that guy rubs me the wrong freaking way.
He's always really the wrong way. I've never liked him, and I agree with you that he is a huge problem, but I think Tomlin's a huge problem as well. And he's lost control of that team.
Oh, yeah, that's – yeah.
You know, I think they've lost – I know they've lost respect for him, but he – you know, I think any team that refuses to recognize greatness in whether it be a monetarily or whether it's just in accolades in any aspect, for some reason, Pittsburgh and even the Patriots, they're the same way. They are very cheap, and they want everything for nothing. Regardless of how you look at it, we're in the NFL. This is a sport that people make millions of dollars. When you have, and going back to Le'Veon Bell, when you have a player of his caliber, and I don't want to say it's just his running style, because he had that stutter step and he had that patience, and he could come to a dead stop and wait for a hole to open. That was because of his line. But he was a versatile back, still is. That's the kind of running back that you have to have these days. Straight line runners like a Zeke Elliott, or like a Elliott from Dallas, that they're kind of obsolete. You have in a league full of passing, where 80% of what goes on is a passing game now, you've got to have a running back in the backfield that can come out and catch a football, that can, yeah, you know,
totally agree.
Wide receiver routes. A Kareem Hunt. That's what you have to have.
You do. And preferably one who doesn't have alcohol and violence problems, you know, or like Le'Veon Bell's case, drug problems.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's a lot of problems in the NFL, but there's a lot of problems in every sport. I think the NFL has become, you know, with the ratings, the rating issue that they've had over the last couple of seasons, really mainly since 2016, they've tried everything they can to keep people watching football. And they lost a lot of fan base, you know, during the whole 2016 season, really. And that hurt them in a way that most people think it was pennies, but when you're a $500 billion a year industry, and if you lose 5% of your revenue, that's a huge hit.
I think they've been coming back pretty well this year from what I've seen, though. Like, I think they handled everything the best they could at this point, you know, and I think they've come back pretty well. And I, you know, a lot of that has got to be attributed to the way the offenses are playing now. I mean, we've got crazy high flying offenses. I mean, can you believe that Rams Chiefs game was not one of the five highest ranked viewed games this year?
Yeah, that's just mind boggling.
That's insane. That was an all time classic. That game was absolutely ridiculous and fun to watch. You know, I mean, it had everything. Like, it even came down to the very, very end. It was amazing.
And what was the second highest scoring football game? Was it the second?
I thought it was the first. Maybe it was the second.
I think it was the second. I think there was one game that, and it might have been the 2000 Rams or the 99 Rams that played somebody that the score was a couple of points higher. I can't remember. I'd have to look that stat up. But it was at least the second highest scoring football game. I mean, it was like a fucking basketball game.
Oh, I know. It was wonderful, dude. I hate basketball, but it was wonderful.
Oh, I do too. I can't, I mean, I don't watch basketball, and I stay away from, like I do, you know, watching golf, but love to play it, but I don't want to watch it.
No, I hear you, man.
You know, and I don't even like playing basketball. I suck at it.
I played basketball in high school, and I was very average. Very average. I mean, not on a national level. Like, nationally, I was bad. But, like, yeah, for where I grew up, I was average, you know?
Well, I could tell you, I was, I don't know what you would consider average in basketball, but if there is an average, I wouldn't even be on the Richter scale. I'm horrible. But, you know, I think they've done a good job of recovering, except for the fact, and I know neither one of us like to get into this topic, but the referees of the play calls this year, or the ref calls, I should say, penalty calls, the flags have been so horrible.
But let's give them this: that helmet rule that had everybody up on edge, like, you lowering the helmet, you're going to get flagged immediately. That has been a non-issue. It's been rare, and most of the time, it's been well deserved.
Yeah, and you know what? At the beginning, it started off as a, you know, everybody was going, oh, shit. But they calmed down, and a lot of it, they really realized what they were doing wrong in the preseason, you know, with that rule. And it has been a non-issue. But in the same aspect, there has to be some accountability for some of these blatant mistakes, if you want to call them a mistake, on these penalties that aren't called, and then the ones that are. I mean, we've got – I'm still so sideways about the Pat Mahomes hit out of bounds and basically just about ripped his head off, and they didn't even think about calling it. I mean, it wasn't even an option in their mind to call that hit. And he could have seriously been injured.
The only call I really remember was the missed left tackle moving. That's all I well, actually, was it the right tackle?
Right.
It was one of those guys. I remember that. I look at some calls. We had one this year that was like an egregious pass interference in the end zone on us, and I just kind of wiped the sweat off my face because it didn't get called, and I was like, "Ooh, that's nice."
Yeah.
No there, you know. So I mean, it just I'm a really big believer, and it goes both ways. But I can understand where people, you know, might not be.
Well, I tell you, I was actually surprised because we never get, you know, the national media never gives us much. I mean, even Kate Adams said today, you know, they have their little sticks with faces on them, and they're picking who they would, you know, what player they would rather have in the long run during the playoff.
Well, wasn't the question too that who would you want to have for the rest of the time, like yeah. Not even playoff? But I mean, it's Pat Mahomes, he's the league MVP. I mean, come on.
Yeah, next 3 years, and
yep,
he picks. You know, I don't get it. I just.
If Patrick Mahomes vanished from the face of the earth, Thanos, you know, snapped his fingers and he's gone, Andrew Luck is an excellent choice. He really is.
Yeah. But
if Patrick Mahomes exists, he is the choice. He's the only one. There's no – I don't even – it's dumb. There's no debate. This is stupid. Nick Wright said it really, really, really well that, you know, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. It's everything else is fodder. It's not a debate. He's the best. He's young. He's on a rookie deal. Andrew Luck is good. He's very good. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I don't give a shit. It's not. That's it. There's no argument.
Well, you know what? And here's another thing. Let's go back to something. I'm going to back up a little bit to everybody's, including your statement about Eric Berry. Okay. How long did Indianapolis wait for Andrew Luck to heal up? How long was he sitting on?
What was it? 3 years, pretty much.
Pretty much 3 years. 3 years.
And the whole time. Big money.
Damn time. Okay. In the hopes that he would, and you know what? Here's the thing. When it came to his injury, nobody ever knew if he was coming back or not. They didn't know whether he was going to be able to recover from that. Nobody knew that. That was more up in the air than Eric Berry's is. But yet everybody wants to cut Eric Berry. Now Andrew Luck is in the playoffs. You know, in Kay Adams' eyes, he's a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. But again, she's on drugs. But still a good quarterback.
That's actually a really good point about Eric Berry, man. I'm glad you made that. That's a very good point.
You know, you got to think about it like that. I mean, I look at players. You know, there's teams out there that are very dedicated to their staff and their players. And this is absolutely one of them. This is a team that is extremely dedicated to their players. And I give the Colts credit for that. And I tell you, I laughed the other day, and I wanted to bring this up because I thought it was actually comical. Josh McDaniels says in a statement, "What do you plan on doing with your career? You know, what's your plans?" Well, I'm sticking with the Patriots. Where else would you go? I mean, you know, everybody says, oh, he'll get a job again. He'll get a job again. He's never going to – well, I take that back. There may be a team out there, Cleveland Browns, that would hire him as a head coach 10 years from now. But after what he did to the Colts – and, you know, I think what the Colts did – to Frank Reich was actually pretty shitty. They basically said, we don't want you. We didn't want you from the beginning. And then McDaniels shits on him. the day before they're going to release the, or announce that he's their new head coach. And then they go and pick up, the quarterback that they're the head coach that they didn't want, never wanted. We didn't want him. And where's he at? He's got him in the playoffs.
Yep. Nope. You're 100% right, man.
So I think that McDaniels is staying where he's at because he didn't have a choice. He's a piece of shit. I can't stand the guy.
I can't, dude. I can't either. I think what he did was low as hell. And this is a small world. You've seen what, we can joke about players getting blackballed, talk about it doesn't happen or whatever. People get blackballed from the NFL. It does happen. Yep. And I think the way he treated the Colts, I cannot imagine another team that is not in dire straits. And I don't see any team right now in the NFL, actually besides the Raiders. Besides the Raiders, I don't see any team in dire, dire straits. No. And I just can't imagine someone else giving him a shot besides staying where he's at. He doesn't really have any other options.
No. And I know, I don't know for sure what was said and or how he was approached as far as sticking with the Patriots after that, or when that happened. But something had to have been said along the lines of, you're going to take over for Belichick.
Oh, yeah. No, it had to have been. There's no way he would have turned that job down with the Colts if it hadn't, because he had a young quarterback. And, he would have had a team that was up and coming, high draft picks, young executive in Chris Ballard, who's doing a great fucking job.
Oh,
great.
God, amazing. Amazing job. He really fucked himself in Denver when he had his first opportunity to be a head coach. And, he cheated. And they busted him out doing that. Had a horrible record. Took him nowhere. And,
yep.
It is what it is. He was terrible. I expect him to get another head coaching offer, to be honest. And then he gets one with a franchise that is an historic franchise that loves, loves, loves their team and treats them like royalty and does everything they can. Andrew Luck, a great example. 3 years, we'll just pay you to sit here in the hopes that you do heal up. If that's not loyalty, nothing is. And he should.
Yeah, that's a great point, man.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
no, I think that's actually like, that's so true. Like, it really is. They showed that loyalty. We respect that. And I think we do owe that to Barry. You know? Well, what do you think, man? Should we wrap this one up?
I think so. Give me your prediction for Saturday.
Oh, we're going to win. Oh, I'd say 35-21 Chiefs all day.
35-21? Well, I tell you what, I think that's a great prediction. I think you're right on board with it. I my mind was 38-21.
Yeah, I'd be on board with that.
Yeah, and it was weird that you're so close to the numbers that I had in my head. But, it's funny. I've picked, weirdly enough, I've been wrong 3 times doing it, but I've picked a 35-21 game or a 38-21 game 3 or 4 times over the last 5 weeks. And the Raiders game, the first Raiders game, I picked that was going to be an extreme blowout. I think I put 45-21 or something like that.
Yep.
It came out to be totally different than what I expected. The one thing that everybody will notice over the next until he's gone, I will always blame Bob Sutton. When he does retire and we have somebody else, and if our defense is ranked 21st or worst, I'm going to blame Bob Sutton. When he's at home, I'm going to blame Bob Sutton. I blame him for everything.
You're not alone in the kingdom, man. That seems like a popular take lately.
Yeah, and I've blamed Bob Sutton for 2 years, and everybody said I was crazy, and I still blame Bob Sutton. I think it's
yep. fault,
and I blame him, and I blame Andy Reid for allowing Bob Sutton to still be a part of the team.
Very justified.
Yep.
Very justified.
Well, guys, this was our first podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. This is brought to you by Pulse Network, and we are JJ, JP, and we're out.
We're out. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.